I love all the decorations.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, man. Kudos to my bro.
You're into sports as well?
You know what? I'm into playing them, but not really.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I like to go to them, but as far as like watching on TV, I really don't watch TV.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's dope.
I try to.
So do you stream more?
Oh, I mean, yeah. When people say they don't watch TV, it's like I watch everything. Or like, basically, it's just I stream. You know what I mean? Okay. Watching like YouTube.
I agree with you. I've been streaming since. Well, in the illegal days, so since 2010,
LimeWire.
I stopped watching legit like cable television since back then. I stopped because I personally hate commercials.
I hate them.
Like, yeah. And I get it. Like, they're the ones that pay for you to be able to view this stuff.
Right.
You know, commercials are important so that you buy products and whatnot.
Commercialism.
I understand the marketing behind it, but it's just annoying when, like, I'm trying to watch a series or an episode, and then that gets in between it, and I'm like, ugh.
Right.
Yeah, like, back in the day, there was a stream site called Popcorn.
Popcorn.
And Popcorn, like, anything that was out there, you could watch it right there. Like, brand new movies.
Damn.
HD, though. Like,
shit.
Like, we're coming out in theaters. We're right there. Mm-hmm. TV shows, full series, everything. And then no commercials in them. So I used to watch it there. Illegally.
Right.
And then
allegedly.
Allegedly.
We're not self-snitching or dry-snitching.
Right. You didn't get a knock on the door. You know
what I'm saying? And then there was another one that came out. Damn, I forgot what that other one was. Because after Popcorn eventually got caught. The people that were that did it. And it went away.
Mm.
And then they did another one. But
but there's so many that I forgot. Like,
there
I
was
wanna,
another one that came out that I forgot what it was called right now.
I
that I used
say,
to use in college. Same thing. I would watch everything like that. So it's just everything that I've seen, like, to this day. I don't even have, like, cable or anything in my house.
Yeah.
Everything is, here are all the streaming services.
Right.
Now that everything is, you know, quote,
smart,
you know.
Smart
now,
TV and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, now that everything has, like, a streaming platform, well, yeah, I don't. Do that, like, watch it like that anymore. I have the streaming platforms.
What's your favorite streaming platform
right now?
All time, all of y'all.
Or like, are you talking about like content wise? Are you talking about like user friendly?
Anything illegal? Like, not illegal.
Oh well, we're gonna just. I'm gonna stick to legal because I've never been on too many illegal stream. Other than like 1-2-3 movies.
Mm. Oh, bro, see, that's what. I'm that era. 1-2-3 movies. Damn, I want to remember.
But see,
another
I didn't
one.
Use that because I had the other stuff. And it was better than that one.
I still use,
but I know about that one too.
Yeah. But as far as like paid for, I don't know. They're all ever since like. I feel like Disney did their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's just been watered down because, like, you have to watch that company's IPs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's like I don't feel like having Disney.
I mean,
and
back
Paramount.
In the day, it was Netflix only,
right?
Facts.
And then once everybody wanted their own streaming platform, now we got to pay all these people in order to watch like whatever you're gonna watch. What I've been doing, and this I've been doing this probably for like the past 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is I'll usually allow, I won't watch the show while it's coming out per episode.
Right.
I'll wait until the whole season's out. Then I'll subscribe just for that month.
Right.
Watch that season, cancel it.
And probably a free subscription too.
You know? So I'm like, all right, yeah, cancel. I'll come back whenever the next season is.
Right.
You know? And that's just because I don't want to be paying for the whole entire year. You know? But your question is a very interesting question. Like, man, because I had to think about that. Like, you're talking about content or user-friendly. Content-wise, I would have to say HBO.
I was thinking the same
thing.
Yeah,
content-wise, they've been killing it. Since they started their streaming platform, first of all, they were killing it before their streaming platform.
Right.
But now that they have the streaming platform, they're just killing it. Every show that they've been releasing on their streaming platform is killing one after the other. It has everybody buzzing. Like right now is The Last of Us.
Right.
Everybody's buzzing about that. Before that, Euphoria. Everybody was buzzing about that. Before that,
keep them coming so I can refresh my mind.
Not the that's Game of Thrones, the prequel that they just did.
Oh, House of Dragons. House of Dragons.
Huh? Zendaya just renegotiated her deal. She's getting like $1 million per episode.
Yeah, for Euphoria. Yeah, yeah.
That's some Friends numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you guys seen that show?
I haven't. You're the one that told me to watch it.
You've seen Euphoria, right?
Yeah, I've watched it before.
You look like the type that was seen. Like,
What's that supposed to mean?
I feel like me and him, you know, got the same vibe. I can feel the energy out there, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean,
I watched it
with my girl, you know what I mean? Okay. So it's like, she got me into it, and then...
Boom.
Didn't you do it to watch your wife, too?
Yeah, watch my wife also, so...
See? And then P-Valley wasn't bad.
P-Valley. That I haven't watched, but I heard a lot of crazy stuff about that.
It's pretty crazy.
Like, it's intense. It's intense. It's at that level of Euphoria. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yo.
But as far as movies, Netflix, you know what I mean? Sometimes, at least lately, some of their like original movies have been pretty fire.
I feel like I'm bougie when I can't give Netflix movies a try. Except for that Strays. You People. I never seen You Strays.
You People was good.
Decent, but it was Eddie Murphy and what's his name? Jonah Hill. And Lauren London
I actually take that back. I just remembered You People. I thought it was a different movie. I didn't really like You People.
I didn't either. Why is that? I didn't either.
It felt a little
forced.
Some of the I wouldn't say forced. I think it was acting. Some of the acting was just so
Did it feel not natural.
But
that's what I'm saying. It felt forced. Like they feel like they forced the whole cast.
Everyone,
together.
Even Eddie Murphy.
And like I feel like the only
Eddie Murphy wasn't himself. Like his funny self.
Right.
He was playing a serious character.
The only people that had a nice blend to it
Jonah Hill and the other actress. And exactly. The one from
the co-host on his podcast.
Oh yeah.
That was the only one that was like
felt natural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody else felt like this felt like an Office episode.
The dialogue, the dialogue that I remember the most is theirs when they're talking about the Drake albums.
Right,
and
no, right.
That was the dialogue I remember in that movie, that's and that facts. Had me dying. They're like, "Your views, Drake. No, you got to be CLB, Drake." Right. I'm like, "Dude,
did you guys
like
the undertones?"
As far as like the racial stuff.
Yeah.
Did
you guys feel like that was forced also? Because I felt like that was heavily forced. Like
that felt
like
very.
They could have done it more where it was like
it didn't feel natural.
It didn't.
And
at
to
all.
Him, it's relatable because he's married to.
I have an interracial. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm black and Mexican, so
it's
my whole life. It's my whole life. Right.
I just learned something new about you too. I know that.
Yeah, I'm black and Mexican.
That, like for him, for him, it hit very
best
home.
Of both worlds.
Yeah.
Because he was like, he was watching and he's like, I deal with some of this.
Right. Which is why I felt like. For someone like him or I, like it was something that's just like, ugh. You know what I mean? Yeah. At some point,
it was very cringe. Definitely.
But if you all,
I was at the barbershop watching that, like, oh wow, they're doing this, huh?
Right. No, but if y'all haven't watched The Strays, that one I highly recommend.
I'm crazy.
That one just came out, right?
Just came out.
Right? What's that about?
And
give me a little. Synopsis.
I did see it on Netflix, but I haven't.
It's about like generational trauma, and. Just like the most
it sounded like
raw,
a scary movie, but
no, it's a thriller.
It's
like straight thriller, bro.
I'm
like,
watching that tonight, then.
Yeah, it's
good looks.
It'll have you thinking.
You know what I'm stuck on right now? That we're talking about like streaming platforms and shows and all that is Snowfall. The last season came out right now.
Yeah,
and they dropped 2 episodes, bro. It's dope.
I haven't watched it yet, but there's so many fire scenes because I've sampled some and. Ooh. Yeah, bro. Yeah, some of those monologues, bro. It's just like
there's a lot of things that make you think. Like, I think this actually happened.
No, it
this
didn't.
Is right. a possibility, especially when they bring in like the wars that were happening in Latin America.
Nah, that's their Iran Contra. John Singleton wrote that, and it was based off his life, bro. It's based off Freeway Rick Ross' life, and they just didn't name him. Ricky, they named him Franklin. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But John Singleton knew him growing up and would see him, you know, like be the drug dealer that he was. Rest in peace, John Singleton. And that was his last masterpiece that he gave us before he passed. If you guys see the credits right in the beginning or at the end too, it says John Singleton and then the guy that finished it for him.
Mm.
But that show
that
is
series
crazy.
Really
I'm going
to
actually watch it because I've only watched clips.
See, but that's one of the series that makes me want to like, buy it and have it like you know like the Chappelle
the
show
is very good on that
the Chappelle show like you know how you bought the whole you bought it on DVD back in the day
right.
I'll buy that on my Apple when it comes out and have it there just to have it you know because I feel like it's that good
right I haven't done that in a long time I used to buy skate videos on my old iPod. Sheesh. So I could watch them on the bus.
Damn. Fire. I think I used to buy like barber stuff, like barber apps that had videos in there to like learn how to cut hair back in the day. But now the only thing that I buy like that is what? Kind of like...
not just movies.
Movies? You guys have like 189? Oh, no. I've had like those... History Channel documentaries where hour of cocaine or Pablo Escobar. Like, I bought into a whole, like, what is it? Like, I think it's National Geographic and it has, like, this lady that, and now it's on Hulu. That's what pisses me off.
Yeah, he bought it before it.
Yeah, it's called Trafficked. And it's all about, like, this lady going around and infiltrating, like, you know, because she's, like, not with Vice, but it's kind of like Vice. Mm-hmm. You know how Vice goes into all the. So, like, she's basically doing all that crazy stuff, but that's on my Amazon Prime account. That's the other thing that sucks about these streaming things.
You gotta have them in different places. Yeah.
So I stopped doing that.
It's not one central place.
I stopped doing that, and I'm only sticking to Apple now. Like, fuck all that other shit. Like,
I feel that.
Because, I don't know. I just want to stay.
It's all spread out.
But enough about me, man. Let's get back to you, bro. So you're black and Mexican, bro.
Yeah.
How's that?
I
gotta ask.
No. That's an actual real ass question. That's a real ass question.
I mean, because I'm pretty sure. What do you get most identified as?
Black.
All right, that's the first one. Okay.
Well, yeah, black, and then it would be.
Do you speak Spanish?
Very little.
Who's black in your?
Dad's black.
Okay.
Yeah, I was really ignorant when I was a kid, so I was like, I don't want to learn. You know what I mean? It's just like,
I don't think it's only that, bro. I also think it's the fact that we're in the United States.
But at the same time, like, I wish I knew it.
I feel you.
Do you at least understand it?
I understand more than I speak.
Okay.
But it's like rusty. You know what I mean?
But it's just like, again, because of the fact that we're in the United States. And because I used
the majority of everybody that used
my
to
first
to
language
to
was Spanish growing up. And then I worked at a barbershop that was Spanish speaking, my first barbershop. And then went to a black barbershop.
Completely different.
And then now I have my own barbershop. And it's like in a Jewish, Persian community. Oh, okay. Community. So it's like, I don't even get walk-ins that are Hispanic or Latino. Like, it's like, it's just a... It's a
but your vibe, the environment inside of your shop is both.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
That's dope. That's dope.
Definitely. But I feel like it's a trip because... Like, I don't speak it on a daily, you know? But now that I have Leon there, I ain't going front. Shout out to Leon. I do speak a little more Spanish because of him, because he's literally immigrated from there at 12 years old. And, like, you know, he has a great story himself about that. But that forces me, because I had to teach him some English words. And then I ask him Spanish words, like, yo, what does this mean? How do you say this? Or today, I even asked him, how do you spell that in Spanish? And he told me, but.
See, the difference between. I remember the first time going to a black barbershop. I only went to, like, my mom and grandma took me to
the lady in the corner.
Like, Mexican. No, I had this dude. I forget. His name was Caesar. Did my hair for, like, 10 years, you know, since I was a kid. Like, it was my first haircut and only went to him.
What would you do with him?
It would just be fades, bro. Okay. It'd just be, like, I didn't start growing my hair till like, maybe 6 years ago. Okay. But I remember when I was a kid going to that black barbershop, coming out, like, crispy, you know what I mean? I never looked like that up until the crispy, bro.
There's a camera on
crispy.
That guy.
Crispy, that look at that line. Look,
that's art.
That's just art.
Thank you, bro. Yeah, appreciate
that's you. Oh, that's that. Oh, okay.
He cuts all our hair.
Right. Now that's art.
Thank you.
Show him the design, Byron. The real art.
I'm gonna hit you up with that beard, man. Yeah. I know everything, bro.
Bro, the beard, that's like, I used to have like bushy beard, you know what I mean? But no one ever did it right,
really,
at least for me.
They dropped it too low for you?
Drop it too low, or like,
ask that guy about how I keep it high.
Like,
he just shaved it off one day without even meaning. Like, I was like, I walked in and I saw it and I was like, what?
Consulting
heck?
Me, he said. Like,
I thought that was my job, buddy.
But okay.
But to answer your question, I would say, like, it's honestly a blessing to see both sides, like the struggles from both. You know what I mean? It's a very rare view to like truly understand both.
Yeah, it's a
both.
Unique view.
Right. So I feel like I see the world differently, because I have homies on both sides of that, you know what I mean, who just aren't as open-minded. You know what I mean? When it comes to both blacks and Mexicans, you know what I mean? Yeah. And sometimes, especially with each other, you know what I mean? But I find the more and more I get older that it's honestly like, I don't know, I can only speak for some things because like,
no, go for you it. Know I mean, what I mean? Like your opinion, your perspective, man.
Right.
I understand that.
You have the floor, bro.
Right. So like, I get like that, like, undertone of racism. You know what I mean? That like, I don't really see like
the
full. You're saying that because my wife, she's mixed. She's black and white. Mm-hmm. So there's been times where we leave a place and she'll tell me like, yo, I felt some type of way.
Right.
They were handling me some type of way, or the customer service was this because of this. And I was like, and I feel normal, but then I put myself in her shoes.
Right.
And then I'll start like peeping, like I'll retract everything that happened, the whole situation or the meeting with whoever we met, mm-hmm. or the just, I just go in my mind and reflect and I'm like, yo, she's not wrong. Sometimes it is like that.
It's just undertones.
It is.
Because they know what to get away with.
Yeah, man. And it's kind of sad because it's still happening in this world. But I, how do you battle with that? How do you?
As far as me, I just keep it pushing. You know what I mean? There's no, it's like, what am I going to do? Sit there and argue with the racist, or you know what I mean, or like I just keep it pushing, you know what I mean? There's nothing really you can do, you know. Yes. What I mean, a lot of the times it's so low key that like they want you to react so you can like prove a point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
And then it's like, oh, you're damn, now you're the stereotype,
you're the angry black, yeah, man.
That's because, what I've, yeah, tried to explain to my wife, and it's so hard because she's a female and the females I feel like are so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have to kind of like give her her right because it's like that's her experience, you know. It sucks that, you know. And then she'll hit me a double whammy, or she'll be like, you know, your kids are gonna deal with this one day because
right.
She calls it the one drop. I think she calls it one drop rule. That as long as you got one drop of black in you, they're always gonna label you as black.
Right.
So I was like, when she told me that was a reality my kids were gonna face, I was like, yo, I have to prepare my kids for this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like I'm not black, but I'm Latino and I'm Salvadorian at that. It's like, and then sometimes I've been asked, oh, are you Dominican or something, Puerto Rican? Or I'm like, nah, bro, I'm Salvadorian. And it's like the vibe I guess I give off, but I have to now like be conscious of like, damn, my kids are gonna deal with that. Mixed, mm-hmm, racism or mixed being mixed race, and you know, and I'm like, I don't believe in races. I believe that we're all a human race, but the world, you know, puts everybody in a box, and that's what shit that sucks. But
right,
damn, I'm gonna have to labels. Definitely tell my kids, yeah, like, yo, just keep it pushing, don't let that shit knock you down, man.
Cause, no, because it, like, bro, the last job I had before I dove full in on like music was a job as a cheese. I'm like a cheese professional, so like, mm-hmm, I was working at this place called Wally's in Beverly Hills, and first of all, they pride themselves on like, oh, Drake comes here, he shouts us out on songs, and like, you know, profiting off of black culture, and me being one of the few, actually at the time at up front, the only of color person, right, really in there, bro, I got like harassed. There's no other way to put it. Like they basically fired me over my hair.
Because you let it grow.
Well, so my hair was like kind of like the very like, so my hair on the front or the top is really long, but the sides I'm still growing out.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even that long, man, like 5 inches, bro. And then like I put in a bun with a hat. There's like maybe like a few curls sticking out, but it's all on the hat. So one day the what is it called? The chef came in. He's this French dude. He was like, "Where is your helmet?" And then I was like, and straight up. Mm. And
now he got the accent right.
And he was giving me all this crap for it. And I the next day basically went, because it kept being a thing. So a few days later that week, I went to the rule book they had just given me, highlighted all the things that pertain to hair for males in my department, and I tell me where it says I have to wear hair next. No one else, not even the people in the back, did. So I was like, and it's that kind of stuff. It's like little things.
Yeah,
so
crossing that boundary, you're trying to test me now at that point.
Right, and that's what I did. I just, hey, here are your own rules. Where does it say that I have to do that? So right. That means you're choosing me, you know what I mean? Oh, okay, you don't have to wear a hairnet today, da-da-da, this and that. Come in the next day, I get fired for not following the rules.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You got a fucking lawsuit right there,
bro. No, straight up, bro. Yeah.
How long was this?
This is a while ago.
Oh,
this
was 6 years ago, you said, right?
About 4 or 5 years ago, yeah. So, wow. But yeah, bro, it was crazy. So, and The dude who fired me was a black man. Was the only other black dude working there. He's a manager.
They had him do it. So it's like he'll understand you type of thing, right?
Right.
He won't react to you doing it.
Right. Wow. Bro, it's that deep. And if you don't, or if you're not aware of those kind of things, it just seems like I got fired. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But nah, that's not what it was.
Hey, you understood the undertones of it.
Right. And that was the last time I worked a regular job. And I was like, fuck that.
I feel that, you know?
You said you went into music. Well, like, is there something that made you love music from, like, earlier? Or was this something you discovered at that moment?
Mm.
Like, well, what was it?
Music has been a huge part of my life. Like, mm-hmm. if you look at pictures of me when I was a kid, I'm hand on an instrument or on a mic or something. You know what I mean?
What instruments did you learn?
Up until maybe, like, my teenage years, nothing. You know what I mean? It was just, like, appreciation for it. My dad mm-hmm. really wanted to be a guitarist. And he loved Prince. Mm-hmm. So maybe that kind of, like, seeped its way into me, but there was no music instruments in the house like that. It was when I really picked up playing Guitar Hero that my life changed, bro.
I've heard a lot of beat makers, producers come out of just, yo, I started with the beats on that or the drums on that. Mm-hmm. And then because they had a whole band, right? You could do.
Right, eventually.
I never was a fan of that. I used to watch and admire people that can like really
actually play.
Yeah,
right. Like, so, and that was me. I played my first game, Guitar Hero 3. I got it for Christmas. And how old were you on the Wii? Middle school?
Oh, it's not 12,
so,
13.
Yeah, so at that point, I had, fell in love with the game, mastered, got to expert, did everything but, like, through the fire and flames. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Who the fuck does that song? But I did all that, and eventually just, I kept playing those kind of games, Rock Band and stuff like that, and it just became boring to me. And one day I was just like, man, if I could play this on a fake guitar this well, I might be able to play on a real guitar. So, asked for a guitar for the next Christmas, and I eventually got it. And day one, learned a few songs, just like that. I looked it up, but you know what I mean. I feel like for someone to just not play an instrument and just pick it up, and also it was like Smell Like Teen Spirit, but. Mm. Still, I know people...
Yeah, you already have the sound, so you should you already know, how the guitar should sound.
Right.
So now you just have to master your strumming and then your finger placement.
And that's...
You know how to play the guitar?
I learned a little bit back in the day.
You know, it's interesting. Because around my same middle school days, I asked for a guitar also. Mm-hmm. And it was because there was a group out at the time. Guess what group is? Manny.
I don't know, Paramore.
I mean,
that's the group you go with. It was Aventura. Was like, have you heard of Aventura? It's like bachata. It's like, like, bruh, the strums on the guitar.
Yeah.
It was something about that, bro, that I asked for. I think for my seventh, and my parents got me a Yamaha.
You hear those songs, and you're like, you want to learn.
You want to make that shit cry, bro.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's what my dad always said, too. Make that shit cry. So
yeah, Prince all the way.
Prince, yep. So,
probably guitar, like it's 1999.
Yeah. The guitar.
That was middle school for me too. That's crazy.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, when I discovered Prince,
Damn. I liked the guitar, but I didn't love it. You know what I mean? I heard this song by Dragon Force. It's Dream Theater. And I forget this. Panic Attack by Dream Theater. And there's this bass part that is in the beginning that sounds kind of like guitar because of the way he plays it. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I thought back then, because I didn't really know about
the difference in all the
instruments.
I used to think a bass and the guitar was the same shit until my brother started playing bass, and I was like, oh, there's a difference.
Right. Oh. So I heard that, and I was like, damn, that's dope. Like, what is that? I thought it was a guitar, so I looked it up, and I was like, oh, it's played on a bass? And I saw Herman Lee, this really dope-ass bass player. He's just like, on a six-string bass. I'd never seen that before. And I got a six-string bass. Eventually, I practiced and learned bass, and my only goal at the time was to learn that song. That's all I wanted. Did that once I figured that out. Now we're kind of like high school when I'm like with music in my life, but not really doing anything with it. I got bored of just learning songs, and I was really into metal. So all the songs I was playing were like metal songs. Dream Theater, The Black Dahlia Murder.
How does it feel to be a mixed black kid that's into metal?
It's funny because
before we even entered that realm, because right. that was even like people would judge you for doing like that.
Oh yeah, right? I got called white for listening to yeah. rock all the time.
Right.
And it's funny because
fucking crazy when people.
I
do
tell
that
Maury that my playlist when I have my when I listen to alternative or I listen to like those type of bands, I tell them my white boy playlist.
Mm.
And like, yeah,
when I listen to
Nirvana, I don't think that's white. I think I look at that like music. But then right. guess what? I just listened to Elvis. Like, I watched him perform. That shit is fucking dope.
Well, that's different to me. That I don't think I'll ever respect Elvis.
Why?
Because he needed
he was an industry plant, one of the first.
basic guy
that I just saw the movie, man. The fucking guy that Tom Hanks plays was the guy that was like, I'm gonna make him the first industry plant.
Basically, blew his ass up. They saw what the black men were doing.
Yeah,
you know what
Stole
I mean.
The blues.
Yep. Straight up,
and called it rock. That's and pretty much it.
Straight
that's
up,
it,
and you know. So, but I will admit,
so you're along that lineage of a black kid liking rock. And that sounds yeah. rhythm and blues. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But at first, it was only hip hop and R&B. Mm. My whole life.
That's how I was.
I made
too,
fun of a kid at, and you know. Sorry, Hyder, that I made fun of you for liking Linkin Park, but I don't know
but
where
then
it
I
is.
Loved it.
Right, bro. Like,
yo,
he just sent
the new album.
Oh, was that?
He just sent the new album. Is that the new album that they, or is that a song?
No, the Gorillaz.
Oh, that was the Gorillaz?
I was about to say.
Oh, I thought that was
yeah. Linkin Park.
I sent you that Bad Bunny one that they did with him.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I eventually had heard, I think it was Metallica was the first like metal thing I heard. Dun 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 dun.
That shit
chills,
was hard
bro.
For me. Like Metallica was my dad liked rock and that shit was so rough. It was hardcore rock, you know what I'm saying? That shit was like metal rock, like
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You had to have. I think the furthest I got to was that their popular songs, mm-hmm. but I had friends that were like, "Nah, bro, you gotta listen to this shit." And
nah,
I was like,
bro,
"Yo,
the
what the
right.
fuck?"
Nah, that they had me listen to was System of a Down.
Yes,
that's
I fuck with System, but it was on a couple songs like Korn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Literally just saw Korn and System of a Down was my last like big concert I saw.
How was that?
Amazing.
Do we still rock?
Oh, amazing!
Like energy, people still like.
Yes.
Do they have like current shit that's popping?
Yeah. There's a lot. You know what? There's a lot of, as far as like that style, I am not too aware of it. I feel like, so I was in a metal band. Metal was what I did for 6-7 years.
Oh,
like, no.
You actually
like
did shows?
6 years. I toured.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Like, so after learning bass and everything, got bored of it. I'm going to join a band.
Oh,
the first
sick.
Band I joined was just like off some Facebook group. And I thought they were like, I mean, I'd never really been out of my school circle before that time. So I thought they were like in their 20s. They're the same age as me. I just didn't know what other people look like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Look, yeah. I went to like a high school that was very, it was just like a jumble of kids, but none of them looked fully developed. You know what I mean? I was like the biggest kid. So like when I went to some of these other high schools, especially for like games and stuff, I'm like, damn, these are adults. You know what I mean?
I had the same thing when I was in my school. I used to think I was tall.
Right.
Because for my school, I was tall.
Right.
But I remember when I first actually went to, I think it was Kennedy or Granada Hills around here. And I saw a dude that was actually like 6'5". I was like, oh, never mind. I am not tall, you know?
Right.
For the first time. This was like me and like freshman year.
Welcome to the club. right, Biden?
So, yeah, like playing, you know, metal, I saw that. You can only really go so far. And even when you get really far, there's just not much money in it. And like,
is
I wouldn't say
rock. Is it because you think the genre has died down?
I think rock is just not
no. The
same.
Genre, if anything, is probably bigger than before. It's just not in the forefront of. So I guess yes, in a way, it has
because
died down.
The reason I say that is because I haven't seen it in like the mainstream media.
Right.
That's what I mean by died down.
But you see, like the last show I went, like let's say Korn System of Down, sold out both all days. You know what I mean? packed.
But that's because from back in the day, correct? Like they built their audience.
Right.
No, it's like Metallica now.
No, exactly.
It's like Metallica now touring. They still tour.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but there will never be another Metallica.
I saw a fucking documentary where Kiss did their last tour a few years back.
Yeah.
Oh, sold out.
Yeah. Everywhere. Like,
yeah.
But that's because that's what I'm saying though. They built their audience though, before the time that is current right now. Because right now in the time that is current, like you're seeing like the Billboard's 100 and all that, and you rarely see those type of bands make it to those like top 100.
It's got
to
be a catchy ass song.
You guys think that if those bands weren't broke, they'd be touring and still doing music now and whatnot?
I mean, if they weren't broke, would they still be touring? I feel like most bands can only make money if they're tour, which is why like. Yeah. Some of these, like, I know a few people, like, I have homies in bands where all they do is tour. That's literally the only way they can make money because you just can't, you know.
If you want to be a musician and live off that, you have to tour.
Yeah, the reason I say I bring up them being broke is because a lot of these old bands, they got kind of stiffed out on their contracts back then.
Right. They don't own the rights.
And they also, they also blew their money.
Facts.
So, like, you know, they don't have money, so they're kind of forced to tour to stay alive. Well, like, I mean, if they would have kind of. You could say manage your money a little better.
But
and
that's
all that stuff.
I mean, that's like
they probably wouldn't be touring as much because you see Rolling Stones, for example, tour. Yeah. It looks like one of them is about to like break their back. And,
but
you're
speaking of guys that at the time when they were young and at the prime of their careers, bro, they're not thinking about money management. They're fucking in their 20s, bro.
But people were getting taken advantage of though, compared to what it is now. You know what I mean?
There was no access to information compared to that we have now.
But that's the thing. That's what I'm saying. Like they're taking advantage of you because you're naive because you're young.
Right.
Yeah, but you have nowadays you have a lot of the younger artists that. They take that into perspective now.
Yeah, but check this out. So hip hop, it's not the same as rock. They're not talking about hustling in rock, are they?
Oh yeah,
it's not the same. Like in I feel like on the street corner, like you know, trying to be an entrepreneur. I don't think their lyrics were the same.
We're not talking about like straight, you know, bars about like the hood, but you know what I mean. But like, there's stuff darker.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think it's like, darker than like, you know.
I mean, just watch a Marilyn Manson video.
Bro, hell yeah. That shit's like
Marilyn Manson, yeah. Guys. But all of it, I feel like there's equally, I mean, if we really want to get in it, like there's, if not more dark or equally dark stuff in hip hop.
No, for sure.
I mean, I wouldn't even say equally, I would say more dark for sure.
But what I mean is like, like in hip hop,
remember when I first heard that Immortal Technique song?
Right, Dance with the Devil.
All right,
so that's a story of somebody that danced with the devil, right? But what I'm saying is there's a guy like Moneybag, Money Man, where he talks literally his raps are about money, financial literacy, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the equivalent of a rock band that talks about, you know what I'm saying? Like, getting your credit up and like.
What's the equivalent of a pop artist that does the same thing? It's just the style of music.
Exactly. So I feel like hip hop is more conducive to, you can really plaster a message and like, it's going to be like, oh, I want to be anti-gun movement. That's what like KRS-One was doing that, right? And then what's his name? Immortal Technique wanted to be like, yo, I want to get dark with it and be like grunge rap. And like Necro went dark.
Necro.
You know, remember all that? Yeah, like he was like death rap, bro.
Right, yeah.
Gore rap. Like there was a category, a subgenre. And like, would you say there's something equivalent of a subgenre in rock that enlighten me because I am not,
like there's gorecore, there's like shit. It's just like you put.
We're talking about like ripping out your fucking intestines.
Oh yeah, listen
and,
to
like,
Cannibal Corpse.
Oh hell, no,
you know what I mean? Like any Cannibal Corpse, like just read any of their like song titles. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
but that's what I mean with like that's how dark rock I feel like gets, and that's why the popularity is not. It's not marketable anymore, you know? Back in that era, I feel like it was. Like, Ozzy Osbourne and, like... It was just people were more, like...
I mean, the grunge era definitely had a time, but, like I'm saying, there's way more dark stuff in the... And I'm not even talking about lyrically. I'm talking about in culture of hip-hop, you know what I mean? Especially once you reach to a certain level, you know?
And I think that's why they're using it now, because rock was used for, like, for what it was.
Almost like healing.
Yeah.
But hip-hop is not.
But at the same time, a similarity, I think, in both genres is how, like, I think drugs are talked about a lot in both of them.
That's what I'm saying.
Drug use,
I mean, you had Johnny Cash talking about...
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
I hurt myself.
Like, for example, we're talking about back in the day, like, people were listening to, you know... Maybe I think what was it? What was that one band that you had just mentioned? Nirvana. You know, probably getting high, shooting up heroin.
Right, exactly. So that's what I heard, that rock was used to pervert a certain demographic in like the 60s and the 70s.
Well, the thing is, the
and then hip hop is for the 80s and 90s and 2000 babies.
Like. Yeah, well, the rock is basically the separation from the church.
Right.
Right.
The rebellion
from the church, because you couldn't play like electrical instruments at the church, right, and everything. So that's when like you have the kids that are at church with their parents now want to be rebels. And that's where rock comes out.
It's see you as a rebel?
Oh, no. I'm actually like super, dope, super grateful that my whole family supported me 100%.
As a musician.
And everything.
That's dope, bro.
And I don't think I've never been steered away from anything I wanted to do, really. Awesome. You know what I mean? They bought me the instruments. You know what I mean?
So right, but like, I feel like that's a healthy way to distract yourself, you know, because a lot of people can go to the streets and like drugs, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
100%.
So music is definitely influential in a good, positive way.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what I feel like drew me to it the most, is just how like I felt like my life had changed, really, like just like in what I was thinking and my motivations and stuff like that. It just was, it's the only thing that really keeps me going, you know what I mean? So.
But when you joined this band, what did you play? Did you sing?
Yeah, I played bass. So okay. I played bass and
so that's the instrument you completely fell in love with.
I would, yeah, as far as like an instrument goes, yeah, bass all the way. Although I wouldn't call myself a true musician nowadays. Mm-hmm. Back then I really was. All I did was watch TV, bass in my hand. Holy, you know what shit. I mean? Just like everything. You know what I mean? Like, you can ask my family every time, like 10 minutes, turn that bass down. Mm-hmm. You know?
So that's
and that's what I actually joked. Like,
disconnect the app.
Mauricio over there.
Were they grateful when you got headphones?
No, I think they're grateful once I got my own studio.
Wow.
Because I know that was a huge step too in amps, where like you could plug in your headphones to the app and like, you know, then just you do play it like that.
But even to this day, I hate headphones. I was like, you want to put the headphones? You know, because I was like, I need to hear it with my ears. You know what I mean? Like, so I would have the amp, you know what I mean? Even if it's low, I'd rather have it low hearing out loud than have my headphones
feel
on.
Feel that rhythm in my soul.
Right, right. It just doesn't feel that. There's like a disconnect there a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But yeah, I did that for a few years. My last band was like the most successful.
Which, how many bands did you play?
Only two. Only two. I played for a few bands, but like my own bands, two.
Okay. And you said you went touring. Was it just like locally?
So we did... we did like one kind of like smaller local one, and then we did one that was like a west, you know what I mean? But it was like a few states, but it was still amazing at the time. I'd never had no experience like that. And you know, we did it during summer, so that was definitely something.
What do you miss about the band life?
That's a good question, because it's not very much that I miss, honestly. Oh, because
shit.
It
was a struggle, huh?
Still surrounded by it, basically.
Yeah, well, yeah, just like the things I liked about that. I mean, okay, the only thing I really, really miss is playing shows. There's nothing.
See, there you go.
Definitely. The energy of the people.
Never be a similar energy than playing shows. But I could play, you know, I could do that now with my own music. But, you know, there's definitely something really dope about like just like a bunch of people in a room with instruments. You know what I mean? That's something I miss. But really, the whole reason I left it, because it just wasn't... It's hard to get a lot of people on the same page. I felt like, you know...
Come about it.
You know, when... So, it started off, you know, small in the homies, you know, garage. And I remember being like, this is something we all want to do, right? Because I plan on taking it all the way, you know?
It's committed, basically.
Right.
So, you were the band organizer and the band leader, or...
I would definitely say so. Maybe not. I wouldn't say like leader, like, you know what I mean? Because it's always like, it's always like people.
It's a democracy for sure.
Right, right. But
you were the guy organizing, let's get a rehearsal, let's do this, let's do that.
As far as like getting shows after a certain point, it was like my vocalist at first. But once we switched vocalists, I just took the role of doing everything, really, as far as like, hey, this guy wants to get us on a show, or this band wants us to tour with them. It became a point where a lot of people started hitting me up instead of the band's page, because it was just a quicker response. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times I'd be like, oh, someone else would get it. And that's like, throw shade or anything at anyone, but that was like a huge reason.
You took the initiative.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, 100%. And I decided to leave because it was just like becoming too much pressure. Because one, I felt like after we had done like a tour at a certain level, they were just like, our actual tour, they were just kind of like, you know what I mean? They all had their own life things going. Yeah. Just wasn't...
Because you were basically the tour manager and you were the bassist at the same time.
And
but then yeah. at the same time, you're seeing that they're not as committed as you are to right. that actual lifestyle.
Right. So, and then at the same time, I'm getting pressure from like missing deadlines. And because they're hitting me up being like, hey, Dom, you know, could you have us this by whatever time? And, you know, I'm over here trying to get everyone together. It just wasn't happening. So I left and I didn't do music for like 2.5 years and almost 3 years.
What'd you do in that time?
Bro, I don't even remember. I was depressed. Damn. I was depressed. I that was the first time and probably
that's when you felt hopefully defeated only time. And you were like, I'm walking away.
I'm not even defeated, bro. I didn't realize how big music was in my life. And so not having that outlet, it just like drove me crazy. It just like... I just couldn't. I was having mental breakdowns, bro, like days where I'm just like.
It affected your mental health.
It affected me crazy, and you know, I remember being at. I worked for Coca-Cola, and that was like, I would always listen to this podcast. It was like at the time it was called Six Figure Home Studio. Now it's called Six Figure Creative, but back then it was just like talking about. Only like studio stuff, right? And I remember listening to one episode about should you quit your job to follow like your daydream or like your dream, right? Mm-hmm. As far as the studio life and stuff like that. And at that point in time, I knew nothing about like producing or anything like that. I actually played my guitarist, and shout out to Brandon. He was like that was the first person to like be to like put me on to what a producer does. I remember getting like one of the newer iPhones came with GarageBand, one of the first times they did that. Oh. And I was on there all day because I was like the only music thing that I had access to, you know what I mean? And I would try to record into like my old like Lenovo laptop, you know what I mean? Trying to get, bro, did not work, you know what I mean? Yeah. They couldn't even run Reaper, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Damn, the struggle, man, the struggle.
Real struggle, but I still recorded on it, you know what I mean?
Made and it happen, resourcefulness.
Yeah, so. I showed him, he was like, you made these? And I was like, yeah. He was like, on your phone? I was like, yeah. He was like, you should look and be a producer. Like, I bet you would make a good producer.
What kind of sound was that you made? Was it, what kind of genre?
It was like all over the place. Kind of like some electronic stuff, hip hop stuff, some boom bap. You know, I didn't really know about genres and stuff. Yeah, just following.
You're a creator, right?
Right. And that was, I remember being at Coke. And I had really hurt my back, and it was just like I was a merchandiser, so just breaking down and taking pallets, like probably break down like almost like 25 pallets in a day. You know what I mean? Like ouch. If not 30,
I know what that means.
Every day, waking up at 4 a.m. to like whenever I finish, which would sometimes be 4 p.m., 7 p.m. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I was getting paid, but like I was like not able to go out ever. I was paying for a car every month. Like hella, it was like a $600 note. No, lies. $400 note with a $600 insurance because I had a car accident when I was younger. So I was paying over a band.
People pay $600 on insurance.
Oh, bro, when I was 18, I was paying like $700 for insurance every month.
What?
I promise
you. Liability.
Yeah, straight up, bro.
You got into a car crash.
I got into two. Yeah, one, bro. Second one wasn't my fault. But
they still, especially if you have full coverage and all that, you're paying a lot. I remember I got into accidents when I was younger too. I was paying almost $200 for liability just so I could drive the damn car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thank you, California.
Right. So I was one day just.
You guys never played underground and it shows. I'm just kidding. You were on Guitar Center and you were on GTA.
I was definitely playing Need for Speed. I was definitely playing Need for Speed on PlayStation 2. Yeah. Oh yeah, all the time. That's a video game is a whole other subject for me. But
you're a gamer too.
Oh yeah, I'm full on geek. I'd say too, whether bro. I showed or
see,
not.
You know, I knew from the jump when you walked in. I was like, we're gonna get along.
Yeah, comics, movies.
Facts.
You know, video games, all that. But
700, bro.
Yeah, so I was paying over a band plus gas and all that, and one day I was just like back there and I was like tallying up like how many months I've been doing that. It was like, I don't even want to say how much.
Your life is just work.
Right. And I was like,
what? There's no social to it.
What is this? And I started getting a little bit of anxiety and I was just like, I was listening to that podcast every day. And that one episode was just stuck in my head about should you quit? You know what I mean? And I called my ex at the time and I was like, I think I'm going to quit my job. I was like middle of work too. Like, I think I'm going to quit my job. Yeah, no, straight up.
How long ago was this?
This was 5.5 years ago. Sheesh. Yeah. So, about 5 or 6 years ago. And yeah. And then she was like, okay. Like, yeah, sure. If you don't like it, go for it. Called my family. Hey, I think I'm going to quit my job. Like this and that. And they're just all like, oh, okay. Like, what are you going to do? I'm going to produce. Okay, you know what I mean? Because yeah. I didn't even have a computer at the time. So,
oh shit!
You're just
basically
dreaming, bro.
100%. So then, that store I was working at across the street was Chase. So I went to Chase and I closed my bank account. So that way they couldn't take out the automatic payments for my car and the insurance, right? And
you're closed like, that out. Let go of the car too.
Bro, so
you're a savage.
So I went, I called my boss after that, told her I'm quitting. She was like, all right, can you like finish? I was like, no, I gotta go, I'm quitting. Like, I left everything up back there nice, but you're gonna have to send someone down here. Like, I'm gone. And I did Uber for not like Uber Eats and like Postmates for a little bit.
See, that's that empowering shit. And that, like,
I built a PC thinking that'd make me like a crazy producer. You know what I mean? Did not. so I did that, and I was just doing the out of my room, like literally begging people to come and record with me, like anyone who possibly could.
You gotta shoot your shot.
Yeah, my homie Young Grim, he was the first person to come to me and like really like,
he's like, fuck it, man.
Right. He was just like, sure, if you're gonna do it, like do it. You know what I mean? So did that for a while I was doing Postmates and Uber Eats, and I eventually got same kind of like itch to like be around other people doing it as I did with the band. And I was like, maybe I should apply to some studios just to be intern, because I was doing it at that point for like a year and a half, and or like a year and a, yeah, a year and a half. And I felt like
lonely at home, basically, too.
Right. Like, and I was like, I need to find other like, people. I didn't know a single person who did anything like me. So I got into a studio. Actually, it was like a year into it. So that was my first year I got into a studio as an intern. And that second year in me producing, I met this guy who took me to someone who eventually be my mentor. And once I did that, that's when like I feel
the
like...
the doors open.
Bro. Once I ended up like... I got fucked over, but like, you know... I would never trade that experience for the world.
Scrapes and bruises.
Bro, I feel like I skipped like 5 years worth of... Within that first year, I feel like I skipped like 5-6 years
Can you let us know what happened when you feel like you got screwed over? What happened in that situation? Or?
So basically, the dude I worked for, he produced a beat... or produced a song for XXXTentacion.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, he did Look At Me. And... dude's cool, you know what I mean? I met him, he liked me, you know what I mean? Everything's cool. End up like kind of coming over to like intern for him every once in a while. And and eventually it turned into me like living with the fool, like up in the fucking hills, you know what I mean? Like life change, you know, around celebrities and porn stars and everything you could think of, you know what I mean? But because of that, there was like a part of me that felt like I made it. You know what I mean? I'm over here in this...
because you're part of his success.
I'm part of... yeah.
And you think that because you're part of his success that you are successful at that moment.
Right. Yeah. So, and, you know, I was taking advantage of because I was brand fucking new. You know what I mean? No experience in anything. Didn't know
what... so you were doing all the grunt work for him.
Everything.
And he was getting basically the bank off your work.
So I wouldn't say he was getting bank off my work. I was... just taken advantage of, and then there were certain situations where they would just like say they'll pay me and not pay me, and then they can give me jewelry and be like, you know what I mean, like,
you're good with this. Yeah
like, bro, I don't need a fucking expensive diamond bracelet, bro, like, you know what I mean? I'd rather have some
pay food, my bills,
bro, eat, you know what I mean? I lived with my family, so I was like, You know what I mean? I didn't really have bills like that, and but I needed like, to eat some food. It's not like
you can just go to any shop to get rid of it.
Right, right. So, yeah, I did that for a fat minute, and I mean, I learned so much, though. I mean, I learned...
You learned the do's and don'ts.
Definitely. But just, like, as far as knowledge within the music industry and just, like, seeing first person some of these, like, high-level environments, it was just, like... Pressure on, you know, pressure on some coal made a diamond, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
My my mentor would be over me being like, hot hands while I'm engineering, you know what I mean? With like some famous dude in the booth. So I'm already nervous that I barely know how to engineer like that. And I'm recording someone.
You're under pressure and just
who has a name. And then I have this dude in my ear, hot hands. You know what I mean? It was just like, you know, so nerve wracking.
You didn't even go to like, did you go to a school?
YouTube University. Yeah.
My boy, there so, you go. Let's get it.
I would say I was self-taught up until I met my mentor, and that's where I learned. I was put on the game to like so hands on, much.
Like, here, this is how you do this. And this.
Yes. The first thing I had to do was there's this artist named Keely. He had gone into the studio on some random day and recorded over my mentor's beat, but he only did one take the entire thing. You know what I mean? I don't know if y'all are familiar, but if an artist doing one take, it's probably not good, bro. It's probably not. It was
need several.
Very much so. And
damn, so only Drake is good at one take? Drake?
He does not do one take.
No, I know.
He could probably do one take.
He has a bar where he's like, the only one I've heard that one take
that,
Drake.
That can do something like that, I think it's like Lil Wayne.
No, hell no. He punches in all the time, bro.
Well, I would say there's no such thing as doing it in one take.
Yeah.
No. I mean, sure if not. if you're at a certain level.
Before, like on
him and like Jay-Z. Him and Jay-Z, I've heard similar things. Like, but.
Nah, but I saw a video of like the mixtape Lil Wayne where he was punching in, and I was like, oh shit! I used to hear that rumor that he said that he never punched in, but nah. Right. And then why I said Drake is because there was a bar where he says they call me one take Drake or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But anywho.
Yeah. So
that's crazy. He did one take. Was it?
He
awful?
Did one horrible. And I had to sit there and time try and
edit this. I
had to make a song out of that one take.
Bruh.
I sat there for like a week, sitting like didn't even know how to do half the
ranges
stuff
and all.
Yeah. So I'm over here like making a song out of these little takes. He barely said words, you know what I mean? So that was like the first thing I had to do, and that taught me so much in that first experience. I had stood over there for probably about 2 years almost, and that was just like
did that experience also give you the networking?
Oh, but
when you left,
all of a sudden I know millionaires. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden I know like celebrity. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. It was just like it was completely. It was exactly what I needed. You know what I mean? With everything else so far that I've talked about, I eventually was like, man, like you know, I eventually hit a point where I'm just like, what the hell? You know what I mean? I started waking up.
Let me get my own fucking.
Not even that. It was just like I'm taking advantage of. Like mm-hmm. I'm being taken advantage of, and there's just no.
You realized you were doing a lot of the grunt work.
Right. It was just like. The things, the backbone, you know what I mean?
You realize your potential too at the same time though.
Right, right. Like I know for sure without me, that whole place ran less smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anyone wants to say, but I know for sure. I was like the last dude. So there's that whole experience is so, we could talk about like, I have a whole podcast on that experience because there's so much, but the fool ended up messing with fucking demons and I felt like, no, like actually,
you said he messed with demons?
Bro thought there was, bro, oh man.
We're just talking about this today.
Bro thought XXX's mom, Cleo, put a curse on this fool.
On X?
Yes, because
Cleo X. Cleo put on a curse on X or on
that's
your boy?
No. I'm on my boy. Oh, I wouldn't call my boy, but.
The guy that you used to
work with. Yeah. So, because he had sued X after he died. On some slime shit, bro. Like, so other artist went to Florida where they're all from and shit. And well, he's not from Florida, but my mentor, he just was, that's where he got his big start, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Down there. And when the boys comes back, he's like, yeah, I heard like fucking Cleo put a curse on you, da da da, this and that, but I know like some ritual to get it off of you. And bro, like, my whole life, I've had like, I wouldn't say like, I've had paranormal experiences my whole life, bro.
Let's get into that.
It's whole life, man. I've seen crazy things.
You seen skinwalkers?
I don't know about skinwalkers, but I've seen
heard of that shit.
Yeah, I'm into all that, bro. I used to want to be a cryptozoologist when I was younger because
what the
hell is
that?
It's basically like
a ghost hunter.
No,
I'm just assuming right here.
No, a cryptozoologist is like someone who goes to find like new species.
Oh shit!
There's like two sides, right?
Oh, shut up.
Yeah. There's like the side that like tries to go and find like a new species of bird. There's also the side that tries to go and find Bigfoot. You know what I mean? Like gosh, it's like just going out there, like set up cameras, like a giant research
squid that was right fucking, that or Loch Ness monster type.
Right,
shit.
Like we thought this was dead, you know, but we found it in the middle of you know wherever, you know,
because
there's so many remote places.
Why'd you want to do that?
I love animals. I'm in love with nature and animals and getting outdoors and stuff. And I wanted to do that before music, actually. And I'd seen crazy stuff. So this, long story short, they did not do what they thought they did right. Mm-hmm. Everything at that point just went to shit.
When he did the cleanses, he messed up.
Yeah, because he was supposed to like protect this egg and all this stuff, but and we're gonna have like a Netflix show at the same time that he was doing this, and they had like the Fantasy Factory truck that they pimped out to do like basic coffee with celebrities, but like the music side of it. So it'd be like making a song in a truck with an artist. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But they broke the egg, so
cursed. More curses.
That day that they were supposed to shoot, which was like either it was that same day that broke, the first truck goes down this, we have this huge like driveway down the hill, right? First truck goes, which isn't the important one, that's like with the crew and people, and then the like $100,000 Escalade comes down and the gate just whoop, slams into it, throws off filming. And bro, ever since that shit happened, he had like everything just started crashing down like hard.
Event after event.
Right. And I had seen, you know, like.
And that's by the time you had stepped away already.
This is before I stepped away because I was the last person to like step away because I was like, ride or die, bro. Like, this was my bro, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, like, I actually saw something like at that place. It was like the most evil, dark energy I'd ever felt in my life.
Like an aura behind somebody? Or
no, I just straight up saw a fucking big black shadow come at me. Like, and on soap, like completely sober. Like, with no, like.
In broad daylight?
At night, but it was like in the lights, you know what I mean? Like, I literally saw this shadow.
Was it kind of like an Ex Estación thing in one of his videos where he's in a funeral and then this like shadow that's following him?
Bro, that's crazy. That you just gave me chills. That's crazy you said it. That's crazy you said that, bro.
Because we're talking about Ex.
No. It's crazy you said that. I don't know if.
Oh, we're going to make a fucking sick ass rap.
Bro. Oh, shit. We're really talking about all this. It's all related. He said about conspiracy. Hey, so here we go. This conspiracy, bro.
Let's get it.
Bro, it did look very similar to that.
Remember that shit? That shit was creepy, exactly. Bro. And they always used to say, like, bro, why is X like he was so foretelling of the future, even in some of his interviews, you know? He was like, and it was very, I don't know.
Damn.
Bro, I'm telling you, when you walked in, fam, it just was this energy that I was like, nah, we're going to get along.
Yeah.
I'm going to understand you. You
same,
feel
bro.
Me? So that's why I understand you. Damn. I seen that shit, bro. Speechless.
No, right, bro. So, but yeah, bro, I saw that shit and I had some evil energy on me for months after that. I had someone who, like,
did reach
out
on you?
Nah, I mean, I had someone reach out to me who had no reason to reach out to me because they had heard about my experience and, like, was literally straight up told me to find God. Like, straight
just
up.
Just pray.
He was just like...
Bro, spiritual warfare is crazy, huh?
He was like, the music industry is run by the devil. Everything, you know, certain words in music actually mean certain things. He started telling me... I'm not going to go into all that, but he started telling me about, like, like it was.
And this is a random stranger telling you all this.
He's not a random stranger. He's a very well respected person that had no reason to in the music industry had no reason to reach out to me. He was like a way like no reason to reach out to me. Oh, like, shit. But actually, what happened was I called one of my homies who he happened to be in the same car with him at the time, and I told him like, "Hey, man, I'm not going to be at the house no more." Da da da, this and that. And then the other dude had heard. And then got my number through him, and then a few days later contacted me just because he couldn't get it. He was like, I had to feel like I had to...
Like, he has to tell you. He has to warn you.
Yes. And okay. He told me about all this stuff. He's told me to get outside, go into nature. He told me, he's like, I bet you feel like this and this and this. And
he was telling you the heaviness and what you were feeling.
My stomach issues that had come out of nowhere. Bro was naming everything I was experiencing. Really? There was a point in time where I couldn't talk about it without feeling like it was right behind me. Like straight up. It was like the darkest energy I've ever felt in my life. And
what freed you of that? Or where'd you feel like you
came separating in? Myself, really like you said, finding myself. Like that's when I was getting, you know, I started hiking all the time, started just working out, you know what I mean? And that I felt like it was just something that was on me for like a very long time.
Did you go anything with God or?
I became more spiritual. I don't know what's up there, so I can't say. Okay. You know what I mean? So,
how long ago was this for you? Like, when you experienced...
3 years ago.
Bro, why does this feel like the same thing that, like... I feel because I was just telling... my brother was saying today at the shop, we were talking about it. And, like, I was telling the guys how I felt like I was possessed by a demon when I was addicted. And, like, it's a spirit, I feel like, of addiction that comes all over you, you know?
And you know what? It's funny you say that because at the time, my mentor had got me onto Adderall. I'd never done Adderall in my life. But he was just like, he would do Adderall. Yeah, he was like, and you know what? And at the time, like, I can't even say that. I can't even say that he forced me. That's what I used to feel
about Percocet. Like, that shit helps me. You cut through the day and shit. Like,
bro, yeah. And before you know, I'm taking 5 pills a day. What made me realize it was a problem was when I
didn't have Adderall anymore.
No. it's when I stood up for 5.5 days straight.
Stood up like standing on your feet.
No sleep.
You counted
like,
the days, fam?
It was, yeah, bro.
You didn't even lose track of time? Like, oh shit, I haven't slept. You were just like,
it was just like, sun up.
3 days, 4 days.
Bro.
What the fuck?
It was 5 straight days because that's what this fool's doing. It was work every day, bro. So I literally worked every day, 5 days straight. Like, and I knew it was a problem because I drove home on that 5th day and I kept like swerving on the street, not because I was tired.
Your body was telling you to...
No, because I was seeing fucking shadows in the street that I thought were people.
And that's what they say, Adderall does that.
So I kept swerving out the way of what I thought I was about to hit someone. It's meth.
Crystal
it's
meth. And meth makes you see shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
after a while, once you're that high.
I was seeing people in the middle of the street that weren't there. You know what I mean?
And bro, you know when you said that right now that you felt like there was something behind you? I remember when I was like I used to have a high ceiling apartment when I was going through withdrawal and all that shit and I was trying to kick that shit and I remember being like going through RSL where my legs will not stop shaking and I felt like that same fucking something
and
behind
then
me.
And you would also get that he had a pee all the time.
Bro, that shit was crazy. That was like after I got sober though, like
well, congrats on that.
Yeah, like after 2 months into sobriety, those first 2 months was that. That was the worst anxiety I've ever felt. But, like, shit, bro. I could relate to, like, feeling like something's on you and shit. But then, like I said, I got spiritual. I didn't start going to church, but I started watching more, like, sermons online or just spiritual stuff. Mm-hmm. And, like, really, now I actually pray every day and, like, I open my Bible. But, like, I still have yet to go to a church, you know what I mean? But I feel like I definitely did the same thing you did. Is I just got spiritual. I found myself. Yeah. And I've been 2 years, almost. I'm going on my 3rd year, you know?
Congrats, bro.
Yeah, man. Same with you, bro. Because it's crazy that you were at least able to free yourself of something that you felt was like really affecting you on. Because that's real,
crutch.
Bro. Exactly. And that's what that shit's called.
It's a crutch I made money off of. Yeah. So how am I going to, you know what I mean?
Like, did you also kick that or all?
Oh, yeah. I haven't taken Adderall, and I don't even remember. I literally will not. Like, I've had people offer me, like, bro, I will not touch it. Because I know, like, if I do it, I don't know. Like, part of me feels like the reason why a lot of that energy stuff, like, bro, I had my... Like, that was just... The one story I told you about that was just, like, a smidge. You know what I mean?
One of the times you felt that energy.
That was when I only... The only time I actually physically saw and had to physically, like, push me, bro. Because that shit went through me. It went through me, bro. It literally... So, basically, long story short, I was looking for my headband in his room because he had let some girl he was sleeping with wear it, right? And the dude's room is disgusting, bro. I've seen like bloody condoms and like it's just disgusting, bro. Like multi-million dollar house with a mattress on the floor. You know what I mean? With like clothes everywhere and pizza boxes and
yeah, drugs.
Drugs, bro. Drugs. So I go up there. I'm looking for my shit. I see that little ritual that they did with that broken egg. That when I first saw it, I mean, I worked in food for years. I never seen no mold that dark. It was just like pitch black, oozing, like felt like it was rising. I knew when I looked at it that it didn't feel good. So I turned away from it, that's looked
what,
around.
That's what the curanderas do.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, fuck that. So behind me was this long corridor that had two mirror doors to these like closets, right? So if you're in the middle, you see like a mirror reflection of everything, right? And at the very end is his restroom, and it's a nice restroom and everything. So I'm like, okay, if it's not here, it's probably in the closet. So turn around, bro. As soon as I turn, I like look in the corner, is this like shadow, right? And then as soon as I got eye contact with it, it grew the size of the wall, and on one side of the wall only, there's no reflection anywhere. So that, like, you know, the reflection that out the door, you know what I mean?
So it was, you're like, trying to shadow. Look for it in the mirror, it's like trying to see.
It yeah. happened so quick, I didn't mm-hmm. couldn't even process it like that, because it literally went, and then like my hair flew back. I stepped back a little bit. Not a single door was open. Not a single window was open. Oh, yeah. No, I try to. I'm very logical, bro, because I've seen so much. I always try to like.
You want to make it make sense to you.
Rationalize right, it. Right. So
that's what we try to do as human beings. Like, yo, it's got to be this. There's got to be the, yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
So I started trying to like make my shadow as big. There was just no way. It was just no way to make my shadow that big or that dark. Mm. It was like my shadow was gray. This was like pitch black. You know what I mean? Like a void. And I felt it go through me. I told people. And no. And then after that, more stuff started happening. My hood would get pulled on. And like, you know, I would be in the kitchen. All of a sudden, I'd feel like I'll turn around. There's no one there.
What?
Yeah. It was just like really weird.
And
like
did
that.
You ever experience that guy that did that get any type of energy like that? Like where he was like, yo, I'm seeing shit or anything like that?
Nah, he probably, if he did see shit, he probably thought it was just the drugs. You know what I mean? Shit. But at the same time, I feel like. I don't know. That's a whole different. I don't know. No one's ever said it. They probably had some experiences, but never talked about it.
Mm.
I've had experiences my whole life, so I know how to
to discern it.
Talk about it, exactly. and I don't feel like crazy if I say it. You know what I mean? Like,
and I don't feel because I was telling my people today at the shop. I was like, if you believe in God, you gotta believe in the devil.
100%.
If you believe in light, you gotta believe in the dark. Like, it's just, there's always a yin and a yang, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just no way around it. That's how I see the world, but, you know.
Right,
that's
no, 100%.
Crazy. You saw that, bro. It was an egg that was just molding. And
yeah.
Yeah, but that's what the curanderas do. That's how they do the limpias.
What is that?
So, like, the witchcraft that's done in the Hispanic side,
yeah.
They call the witches are called curanderas.
Mm.
And they do that stuff where, like, they give you an egg. The egg is supposed to, like, take all this aura out of you.
Right.
And, like, they pass it to clean it. And then there's, like, people that vomit this black goo.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
Like, they vomit black goo because it's supposed to be cleaning the insides out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, like, when you're saying these things, I'm like, yeah, it sounds a lot like that.
Yeah.
But you know what's crazy is that, like, some of these, because you know how they say XX families from, what is that?
The Creole.
Yeah, they're like Trinidad and Tobago or
something like that.
Something from the Caribbean.
No, they know, they like just like that whole like culture, very real.
Right, exactly.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Voodoo and all that.
They're
like,
into voodoo and all that type mm-hmm. of stuff, you know? And then if you've heard her mom talk, you'll kind of get that vibe too, that mm-hmm. she's very spiritual, but you... Not in the spiritual sense that me and him are talking about. It's more right. in the spiritual sense of like some other shit.
Dark arts.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
we'll
so,
just call it that.
Yeah. So, you know, that was just like.
And this was before you leave this studio that you thought where you've been interning and whatnot.
Yeah. This was like, it wasn't really a studio. It was just this dude's house that he had like a $1 million studio in. You know what I mean? So it wasn't even a studio. So after I did all that, like, felt like I got good. I had like tried to figure out. I did like the studio out the suitcase. You know what I mean? Like, would go to people's houses and stuff, and like record them at their house.
Right.
Eventually, saved up money to like get my own first studio. then that's when, like, I feel like I've learned them a lot. Just, like, it's been a blessing, but it's also been, like, a struggle. You know what I mean?
Is that where you're at right now?
Yeah, yeah. I have two studios now.
Beauty and a struggle, bro.
Yeah, I just recently opened up another.
I've been peeping your Instagram. I followed you about a week ago once we knew that we were going to have you on. And I was like, it was entertaining to see, like, the way you push your business, you know, that right. You're like, man, yo, I got time today, pull up, I'm looking out for the homies, and it's right. Like, it just feels like, gives me that vibe of how, like, when I opened my shop and I was trying to get people in the door, you know what I'm right. saying? So it's right. like, I respect you for that, bro.
I appreciate
it's like, it takes a lot of guts and faith in yourself, belief in yourself, passion for what you're doing to really go after your dreams, bro. So yeah. I give you mad props for doing that, bro. Thank taking you, that leap of faith for yourself.
Yeah, and I feel, I mean, I'm super, super blessed because I know people doing it for way longer than me that
haven't made it as far.
I know people that I worked with back at that house that don't have as much as me. You know what I mean? It's because I took it into my own hands. I didn't want to sign no deal. Yeah. I've had people try to sign me to things. I'm just like, no, you know what I mean? Just like, I've been there, done that, I've been taken advantage of, and I lost a lot of money again. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just like,
independency is just the way to go at this
point. It's hard, it's harder, but it's just like, there's no
it's
other.
It's more worth it at the end.
It's more worth it at the end. I'd rather struggle.
The marathon continues, my boy.
No,
so when did you first walk into the four empty walls?
Of my that studio?
Yeah.
Oof. That was 2 years ago.
I know how that's like when we walked in here, it was just four brick walls and I was like, oh snap.
Yeah, that was
empty canvas.
That was 2 years ago. And because I'm just very resourceful. I'd like to do things myself. I built my own studio, my stepdad.
Yeah, I saw your whole journey, bro.
From way back,
that's why I brought up the four blank walls.
Right.
I started this studio, I wanna say I think August of 2020. Like, literally when the pandemic hit. We started this podcast in June of that year. But then
same as me.
Then we moved into here August.
Okay.
And I remember the first focal podcast, like, it was just table. Everything was bouncing everywhere because it was just brick wall, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it, but he heard it. I was like,
editing and all that stuff.
Yeah, you definitely hear it.
So it's just, take us through that journey from when you first find the studio, you have the four blank walls, and then you just start, you let the creativity flow from there.
Okay, so yeah, I got it definitely on like some sheer luck. I tried to look for so many studios. They're mostly all in downtown. There's some lockout you share with like a bunch of people and just like already you share anything downtown with a bunch of people. You're already asking for problems. Yep. You know what I mean? You're already asking for problems. I didn't want to do that. It was all very expensive. It just wasn't good. And plus I live in Sherman Oaks. So I wasn't trying to drive downtown every day. I had found on Craigslist this random dude who was just trying to like get rid of his place to like help the owner and stuff like that. It was another lockout, but environment was just, it was just, I don't think there's really honestly much of a better lockout other than that. You know what I mean?
Define a lockout. I never heard of that. What is that?
A lockout is basically, what you got down here.
Yeah, we're in right now. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like a bunch of rooms that are usually...
It's like Wendy's stuff. Boy that we went to that one time.
Exactly.
Yeah, and a lot of them tend to be music, you know, technically like bands.
Use them a lot.
Rehearsal rooms, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what mostly that place is. It's a rehearsal kind of space, and people could just have their own room and... You know, so when I first got there, I remember just walking in. It was like dirty green carpet with like beer stains in it, like the sheet hanging off the top. And my friend and I, we'd go there, you know, smoke a blunt and just draw out designs and stuff. And I just pretty much just like did everything as cheap as I could while maintaining the quality. You know what I mean? Right. I had bought someone's booth that they had built and then upgraded it to what I liked because they already had the wood. All I had to do was just, the frame was all there. I just had to extend it, make it taller. I bought someone's like paneling, rewrapped it and did all that kind of stuff. So a lot of it I had built, but not as much as I had built for like my second studio. That was like 100% built by me and my family, really, my stepdad and I. But that whole process of just getting all those parts and it's like my favorite part about building, you know what I mean? Just because you have that empty canvas, you could do so much, you know what I mean? And
but then you also have to think of like everything that you're going to want to do there.
Yeah, and which you just never know. Like my first studio, if you saw what it first looked like to now, completely night and day difference from like that 2 years of just having it.
Yeah, you have those pictures on comparisons.
Yeah, actually, I might.
Yeah, this studio too. It went through different renditions where we had the famous casting couch for a bit.
Yeah, me too.
we had
the table first.
We had a different table that was a lot higher than what you have now. Mm-hmm. And you know, just different things, and then
we're about to go through another one. So
you know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. But everything has been a learning lesson the whole way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I was gonna do paneling too, and then my dad was like, "Just build walls, man." And and that's what we did. They're all walls insulated with the soundproofing and all that. But you know, it was a lot of trial and error and whatnot.
Yeah.
Once you get it going and all that stuff, and you know we're doing stuff like this, it really makes it all worth it, you know.
100%, 100%.
You know what I mean? Because once you start,
what city is the studio's in?
It's in North Hollywood. My studio is called DB Studios, and sorry, I'm trying to look for a before and after. But yeah, so I mean, it was definitely even still to this day, I'm still figuring it out. You know what I mean? I had eventually felt like I was ready for another studio to do a rental studio out of. It built a whole nother studio, completely different vibe, did everything. And I'm
in
currently,
the same location?
Yeah, right next door. It's like literally next to the share
so
a wall.
So you have two of them basically.
In the same place. So, and that's been interesting because it's a completely different business than what I do in my own room because what sells my room is me. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's basically like an Airbnb you have to run. You know what I mean? And currently...
So that you basically use the other one for any other engineer that wants to bring in his shit to do his shit there. Mm-hmm. He just rents it out from you.
Yeah, I have a lot of homies that come into LA and they just need a space, you know, with everything already in there.
That's fire, bro.
Yeah, and
you're
like
so resourceful because now you're helping somebody else out. 100%. Helping yourself out.
100%. And that's why, like you said, you see someone like, oh, just come through. Because a lot of times I just want people to, like, I know that if I had a capability to get into a studio with my own, you know what I mean? Like the way I did with this studio, I'd be eating that up all day back in the day, you know? So I'd like to try to give back and help people where I can for those kind of things, you know?
Forward,
yeah, because, I mean, you never know where anyone's ever going to end up, you know what I mean?
And that's the thing that's dope and genuine about you, bro, that, you know, it doesn't matter the way you were done. You're not paying that forward. You're like, nah, I ain't going to do somewhere like that.
I mean, to an extent. I mean, I have my days, you know what I mean?
I feel like, you, but it's like, because we're human, you know what I'm saying? Where we're like, man, fuck people. But at the same time, it's like, nah. Like, you still feel like you have that humility about you, bro, that you're not going to let that experience taint you that bad to where, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
you know, like.
No, 100%. I mean, I know, even like you said, we're all human. I have my days where, I mean, I definitely struggle with like mental health and stuff. Right. You know what I mean? Matter. Right. Like, you
we
know,
all of us do. It's just we're used to being quiet about it.
Yeah. Right. Right. 100%.
There's an open free space for that. So if you have any struggles that you know, feel free, man.
It's like for me, I'm always the guy to get things done. So at least lately for me, I've felt like I've kind of hit like a wall a little bit where I'm just like, damn, I wish I had another me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Someone I can rely on. Because, like, not to say I can't rely on anyone, but, like, at the end of the day, the person doing the most for me is me. You know what I mean? So, and I am, other people have a me. My clients have a me. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I don't have a me. You know what I mean? It is me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, a lot of times I feel very, like, just like, drained and just like mentally exhausted because I'm also doing so much myself. I'm an artist myself. I got my two studios. I have a vintage clothing business on the side.
I've seen that. We gotta talk about that.
That's a whole nut. My fashion has been definitely a recent thing for me that, I mean, I've always liked it, but fashion lately has been like forefront of my mind for sure.
So, you know, you see, I feel like I'm so, I like fashion. I've always liked to dress and put certain combinations together and stuff. And lately I've been like, you know, there's like this new look of baggy stuff coming back. Right. Out, right. And I'm like, damn, fashion. My dad told me this when I was a kid. Fashion's always going to come back.
Circles, mm-hmm. It's you know? A circle.
Yeah, and I remember when like, I put the slip-on Vans for the first time, and I was telling my dad, I was like, these are the new shoes. These are the hot thing. And he was looking at me like, yo, these were back in the day, bro.
Right. Right.
These are not new.
And that's what's dope that I like your that business that you got, the venture stuff. Because and I was looking through it, too, because I was like, man, let me see if I find something. That
oh,
I like,
if we want to talk, just let me know what you're looking for. I got some crazy
stuff. I want, like, NASCAR.
Oh, I got you.
Tees,
I have a bunch.
Like the Jeff Gordon ones and
I
shit.
I have a Jeff Gordon.
Like, what's his name? The dude that passed away? Earl
Dale Jr. Yeah.
That guy. Mm-hmm. Like, just I grew up watching that shit. So it's like, or even like some Formula Schumacher shit. Like,
oh, yeah.
Or like, you know, this looks like damn. A vintage Nike shit. You know, that's how I am that I'm like, damn, when I was a kid, I wanted that. Or damn, right. You know? So like, that's why like I get every Jordan now. I'm trying to get away from that. But I committed a cardinal sin recently, guys. Don't judge me.
You bought another pair?
Yes.
This is.
Reimagine 3, baby.
Here.
Just because he said his name, so you can sweat.
Is that the hat he wore?
It's for the
Schumacher.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It's this Formula One
snapback?
Yeah, it's a wool snapback. But bro, like that's
bro,
what I'm saying.
You
like
got a Skyline, I gotta get that one too.
Oh yeah.
How much you selling all these for, bro? What?
Just talk to me. I got a bunch of hats. I got like a bunch of stuff.
Bro, oh yeah, yeah. Firestone. My bad. I'm going through.
No, you're good. Don't go too far. But
we're gonna get to the casting couch video.
Yeah, you know,
only fans video.
I got the vintage Triple H hoodies. You know,
what?
I got a bunch of shit, bro.
You got Stone Cold.
Oh yeah, I got some Stone Cold too, bro.
Sick. I want to be different. And vintage is different.
Honestly, there's. The quality is just like this is a jacket from the 70s I'm wearing right now. Like
fire.
It's just like you cannot find this quality.
I like how it's a trench coat too, bro.
Right, right.
He got because me and my brother, oof, me and my brother, been talking fire. About that lately. Like we want
to
get
the day,
some.
Things were made to actually
last.
Yeah,
we're it's because H&M Forever 21 killed fashion.
Killed the game, yeah. Like not in a good way.
And it's quick. What's it called? Quick fashion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's fast fashion.
That's, yeah, fast fashion.
That Fashion Nova, Shein, mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
all that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So and Forever 21 and H&M, Zara.
That just fills landfills. No one actually likes the clothes. It's just the trend at that literally
and
that
it
minute.
It kills our water, dude. It kills our water.
Oh yeah, too. Just to make all that shit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
you're definitely polluting the world. That's why it's dope to do vintage. So holla, my boy. You know,
thank
y'all
you.
Y'all watching.
Dust
you know.
It off. Yep. Dust it off vintage.
I like that name, bro. That's
thank
fucking
you.
Fire,
thank you.
Dog.
Because I have allergies to dust, and every time I go into these thrift stores, I'm just like... You know what I mean? I'm just like,
dust
bro,
this shit off,
day. Yes.
Yo, I remember one time I forgot how to do community service, and I worked at a thrift store, and I found some shit.
Oh, bro.
I found some shit that I still own to this day. So and even my like most of my like collectibles because I have like mm-hmm. I have a corner at home that's all collectible shit.
Same.
Like offer up and like shit like that, you know. So
I mean, I'll find something at Goodwill for like $5 and sell it for like $150. You know
see,
what I mean?
I need to get like, on my Gary V tip like you, bro.
Gary V.
That's
no,
what that
straight
is,
up,
bro.
I'd be
Gary
making
V
it proud
out,
right
yeah,
now.
Like,
I'd literally be making that full proud. Because right next to my studio is a Goodwill. And like,
he's
I
like,
just,
your profit margin is out of this world.
No, right. I have my spreadsheet and everything of like
bro,
how much I spend and how much I make. You know,
tag Barry on this clip too. Tag Gary V on this. Sure, shout out to Gary V.
Right.
Damn, that's crazy.
So, not definitely.
What's the most expensive vintage piece you've sold that you were like,
my most expensive ones, I just don't sell.
He's like,
those
are
my gems. Yeah,
what's one of the ones that you're like, I cherish this one. I can't believe I found
here,
this.
I found this.
Don't tell me it's a Pokemon Charizard card. Because
oh no, no, I wish. Don't
vintage,
even get me started about my now, all the stuff I've thrown out.
Mauricio, what happened to our Pokemon cards, bro? I had a lot there. I don't know what you did with.
Uh oh,
thrown away.
They gotta be in his room somewhere because.
My mom gave all my stuff away to one of her friend's moms sons.
My mom gave a lot of my stuff away too.
Why don't you remember?
She's like, you weren't using it.
Right.
Yeah. Bro, my Nintendo 64. What happened to your cards, bro? You had a lot of cards.
I'm ashamed to admit this, but I threw them away.
Right. This is a vintage 80s.
Jimmy Choo?
It's called No Vintage Jeans, but. Or no jeans, but it's just like the dopest cardigan, bro.
That is fire.
It's like the pins and the patches, and it's very expensive. Fire. This other, my other
King of Chicago,
yeah, it's that's King of fire. Chicago Blues, and has white people on it.
Yeah. it's definitely vintage,
right? And you know, this is another crazy one. It's a
brand. Is that scarf vintage?
Yeah, fire. I usually wear all that's vintage. Burberry. No, it's some other brand. It looks exactly like Burberry. I always tell people it is. I was thinking about Bambi Roo with you. You know what I mean?
Hey,
hey,
this ain't real either. Right?
So this is.
Don't try to rob me. You're not gonna get shit for
an 80s ET cutout, brand new in box, or brand new and sealed.
What?
Yeah, that fetches for a lot online.
Where'd you find this at? Goodwill.
I have my
sleepers, huh?
Oh yeah, bro.
Camera.
Oh yeah, no, it's crazy. Yeah, if you're trying to buy some vintage ET promotional stuff,
damn,
dust it off.
Yeah, and then just like shirts, you know what I mean? It's just like something about it is just like the shirts are way better. Like this is a vintage San Jose State,
right? Shirt.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sweater. It's just like the feel of it. Everything's just like
right. No, I feel I'm in love you. Trust with it. Me, I feel you. I completely agree with some of the stuff that, like, I have some members only jackets that I'm looking for now that I'm like, if you find that same exact kind of color, because I have one, but I stained it, and that khaki, once you stain khaki, it's hard
done.
To come off, especially on a members only jacket. Like, right. Fuck. That's something that, like, I rock now, and people always turn their heads like, what the fuck? And I'm like, yeah, bro, I got a couple colors. Yep.
Right. You know what I'm
saying? Like, I like dunk, so I like. You know, put the dunks with the members only because that's right. The 80s vibe. But y'all kids don't know about that stuff.
Yeah, no, I feel that. And like you said, it's just the quality is just, I know this jacket is going to last me the rest of my life. Facts. You know what I mean? If it came from the 70s, it's going to last me the rest of my life. You
right,
know what
right,
I mean?
Right. Nah, that's a hard one. Thank you. Definitely like a black one that looks like the Matrix.
Ooh, that'd yeah, be sick. That'd be hard.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Huh?
That'd be sick.
But yeah, so.
I have a question for you, bro.
Huh?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? Whether it's like, enhancing something whether you do or something new you would like to try?
You know, in 5 years, I feel like it's always hard for me to answer those kind of questions because I feel like at this, like, not to like go straight from the question, but I feel like sometimes I can never truly, or I'll put it this way. Sometimes I feel by saying I'll do something in 5 years, I'm also putting a cap on myself. Mm-hmm. If you would have told me when I... Yeah, you would have told me if when I first started.
Opportunity is going to come. What's going to happen? And that's the beauty of you can have a simple game plan,
right?
But that's the beauty of living in the moment. Living in the moment is all about like, all right, what are the opportunities today? Let's mm-hmm. work on that.
Correct. Right?
And then we'll see what opportunities are about tomorrow.
Right. And if I had when I first started music, if you would have told me in five, but no, if you would have asked me realistically, I would have said, oh, maybe to own my own studio, maybe in 5 to 10 years, you know what I mean? 6 years or whatever. I did that in two, you know what I mean? So
yeah. Sky's the limit, really.
Right. Is like, so for me, I feel like to answer that question, definitely doing a lot more within fashion. That's just something like, I already know that I'm
and
gonna
fashion and music go hand in hand.
Right. And that's, it's just being a creative. So, I could definitely see myself, you know, I thought owning more studios, I want to own my own building, but, you know, that's a whole other thing. I definitely want to own my own building.
Earlier when you were talking about, you talked about, I don't know why that came into my mind, where I was like, why didn't you try to manage bands? Because you said you were managing your own band.
True, true.
You know, setting up tour dates and everything. And I was thinking of that. I was like, as you said it, I was like, why didn't you try to manage bands? You know,
that's actually smart. Also, again, because there's no money. So it would have been like, you know what I mean? There's money in...
But what about, like, because it could be a band or you could also, like, an act or rapper
right.
or anything, you know?
No, 100%. No, that's definitely something I'd like to... I do that for like the people I fuck with. You know what I mean? I won't do that just for no one.
How much do you charge for somebody that, like, let's say wants you and your studio?
I just charge $50 an hour for the studio, which is like super, like super good for the kind of studio I have. I mean, I have a like $4,000 microphone. I have a like $3,000 compressor. And, you know, there's mega money in my, you know what I mean, in what I've spent. And I know studios with less than me that charge more. Oh, shit. But I'm not about like that. To me, I'm already happy with, as long, you know what I mean, as long as the people I'm working with are good to me. You know what I mean? So I've been charging $50 for like 2 years now. Everyone keeps telling me to raise my price, but I'm like,
I'm good.
I'm not. It's not really for me to like make hella money with. You know what I mean? It's like to give and also to keep up, and then everything else has just been blessing me and like just coming.
That's that humility energy I'm talking about. That like you give it forward and it comes back.
It comes back tenfold. Exactly, bro. Like exactly. So you know. So yeah, you know. It also depends what you're going for. You know what I mean? Like I've done whole album deals. I like to look people up. So.
And then what's the main kind of acts that come into your studio, like that you see are like the most common? Is it hip hop? Is it rock? Is it bands?
It's definitely rap. I do a lot of rap and R&B. Definitely rap and R&B. I feel like those kind of, and I work with some pop artists too more recently. But I've worked with every type of style and genre. I make everything, you know what I mean?
Dope.
I would have to ask you though,
like Spanish music too. You said, you
know,
everything.
You know, I have made some like reggaeton, but not like some like, you know, straight, you know. I have a song that I like to that I could show you later that goes into like, it straight up changes to like straight Spanish, because for me as an artist, I want to delve into that, you know, biracial, you know what I mean, like both sides,
and embrace who you are,
right, you know, because you have like people like Tyga who want to seem like they're Mexican, you know what I mean, but you know what I mean? What do you really say, the Acaramba song, fucking eating nachos and like looking like a fat Mexican, you know what I mean? It's like, bro, that's not what Mexican culture is.
Right. Nah,
you know what, I mean? What was he doing? He was eating something that was just like, bro, I don't even see Mexicans
Takis,
eat.
I think
it was like,
I think YG did something similar.
It was YG, I think.
He didn't get the backlash though.
Yeah,
the local song.
I mean, there was a lot of mixture stuff about that. Yeah, the
mariachi thing too.
Yeah, like, but that's what YG did. But they said that YG did it with more class since he was suited up in the mariachi.
Yeah.
He's talking about also, Tyga. Tyga depicted a fat Mexican on the couch.
Like, you know, everything negative.
Yeah, it was like when you say.
YG too, the difference is that he grew up around Mexicans. Right. And Mexicans already know him and they respect him.
Which is also why he wouldn't pull some shit like Tyga did, where he's like,
right, but know. Then again, it's like Tyga's pulled other songs like that in the past where it's like it was his MO, and that's why I feel like he thought he can get away with
well,
that.
He's featured with like a few reggaeton artists as well.
No, yeah, no, definitely, for sure. Definitely. But I'm talking about in the past, remember, like he did that was that Four Loko song, and then Ay Caramba was that new one that he got backlash for, right. And then even before he's done other songs too. So it's like, but he just pushed the envelope, you know what I'm saying? Kind of went a little extra.
There's a difference between like influenced and like depicting someone
and
as like
mocking them in that
right
same thing.
Right.
And that's why he took down the video.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. He went on Power 106 and had a whole like the Hispanic guys on Power 106 talk to him, like, and then there was a guy called American Cholo that went on there, and it was a whole ass
debacle, bro,
between the black culture and the Mexican culture.
Yeah, always has been.
You know, and it was like, it went to the extent of there was like a Mexican rapper called King Lil G that he was like saying, how, why is everybody going at Tyga when we're all trying to be black because we do hip hop?
And that's the flip side of it. That's the flip side of it.
So that's why I kind of like, when I saw that, my first immediate reaction was what King Lil G said, was like, yo, why are we tripping when I love hip hop?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had black people tell me, yo, you're trying to act black. And I look at you like, bro, this is hip hop. Like,
right.
I don't look at it like I'm trying to be in anything. I'm just, I fuck with hip hop.
Right.
But then since black people invented hip hop, they take it like, no, that's mine. You know, and I understand that, but I'm like, fuck, bro, can you share? I love your culture. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think there's a really big difference though between like, I mean, there's like a side to everything, right?
Right. You know, so I mean, how do you feel about that then?
I feel like you just can't do that same kind of thing with hip hop. I feel like hip hop was just born out of like, I don't know. It's just like you can't just do that with hip hop. You can't like, just close like
claim
it off.
Claim it to just be
yeah.
yours.
Yeah, I feel yeah. You that, know what bro. I mean? It's
I
just like
that. I feel like it's so universal that's like it's just hard to be like.
The other thing is, I think that it has to do with the fact that we're either first generation or second generation that we come here,
mm-hmm.
and there's not a lot Hispanics can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like when you listen to hip hop and rap, there's a lot you can relate to.
Right.
Like the struggles they talk right. about, the stuff they're going through. As a Hispanic, you don't have like that Hispanic outlet.
Mm.
So that's true. The outlet that you have is hip hop and rap.
But then check right. this out. This is my observation that you see how the hip hop is so universal and so influential that the Spanish grabs it and calls it reggaeton.
Yeah. Right,
they call
right.
it Spanish trap. You know, they right. they do their thing.
Yeah, like there's yes, I would.
They got an influence from you know what I'm saying.
Reggaeton comes from Panama though.
Right, originally, but the boom bap, yeah,
the new generation, yes, mm-hmm. they've been influenced. Right, but a lot
like
by them.
It's like I've watched a few of the like old school reggaeton artists say how like they were watching KRS-One, they were watching right. Big yeah. Daddy Kane, and they're watching because that was American culture is just
well, Arcángel talks about that.
We import it everywhere, you know. Because
Arcángel was originally from New York,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so
and
it's like,
he talks about how like they saw the rappers out here. Mm-hmm. For example, Eladio Carrión, who's actually born in Kansas, but his parents took him to Puerto Rico to be raised over there, and he did he had Bobby Shmurda on his thing. But like if you hear him, he talks a lot about how like he grew up listening to rap.
How old is Eladio? Like 35, 34? Around there, 30, right? Yeah. So like I'm talking about like that genre of Vico C and the era of Vico C and Daddy Yankee and even a little bit like Tego Calderón. Those guys were even before those fools that they were Eladio's like
Hector old. El Father.
They were heavily influenced by hip hop.
Research these guys. I don't know.
Nah, but that's just that thing. Don't say because like. I had a in my musical experience.
You
I had
to
a,
talk about explicit. That's probably very explicit, bro. Their music is, for sure. Hispanic music gets it's away crazy. With things. Like, when you look at the lyrics, you're like, "What did he say? Excuse me?"
Right. I mean, no, straight up. I remember, like my grandma. She'd be playing, you know, the songs while she's cleaning and stuff. And I remember sometimes she'd be like, "Oh yeah, it's about like this and this." I'm like. This upbeat song is about yeah. it's about killing you finding your dog dead on the highway, like yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like
yeah. It's some crazy shit out there. Yeah. Especially the Mexican corridos, bro. They
yeah. Oh yeah.
Have what, you ever had an artist?
Yeah, banda, everything.
Chaleno Sanchez?
Nah.
Who is it? Vicente Lizalde? I mean, all these guys got killed.
Who was the guy that got that note on stage that he was going to get?
Chalino Sanchez.
Okay,
Chalino Sanchez.
I know about
that. No, that was Chalino Sanchez. That was in the 80s. He got a death note on stage. And then after they told him, the death note basically said, don't sing this song
right.
on this stage. Mm-hmm. And he still sung the song. And then after the show, they put two shots on his head.
Dang. Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Me and my sister went to see... It was like a meet and greet at the Warehouse Shoe Sales in Van Nuys back in the day, like 2004 or 2005. And his son was also starting to sing.
Oh.
And then he dies in a car accident in Mexico.
Damn.
Like maybe like a year after we met him. It was crazy, bro.
Yeah, no, I know that they're real gangsters out there. Mm-hmm. I used to spend a lot of my times in my youth watching cartel videos.
Same. I still do. Yeah.
I can't watch those videos anymore, bro. I used to watch some Best Score. Yeah, I'll remember Best Score.
I need to watch that one.
No, they took it down. Best Score. Yeah,
the website.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
not. Yeah.
All that stuff they got scrubbed, bro.
Yeah, a lot of.
I'm sure you can still find things of that on Reddit.
Yeah. Reddit, LiveLeak, you know what I mean?
LiveLeak, for sure.
LiveLeak. You want some crazy shit? LiveLeak. but yeah, no, that was definitely something. We don't need to get into those, but yeah, I had that moment.
Out of curiosity, I'm wondering, you know, we're talking about the studio, working with artists, giving back. Is there some part of you that wishes, like, or just, you know, there's two, when I think of producers, there's two, you could say, paths you could take.
Right.
You know, you could take a path where you develop an artist that, you know, like you're saying, you don't know what happens, you know, they blow up off of a beat you made or something like mm-hmm. that. Or there's a recent example that we saw with J. Cole, that he found someone's type beat
that
on YouTube and then, you know, released a song through their YouTube and all that. So is your would you say a goal of yours is to work with like a big known artist, or is it to like develop with somebody and you know, make a career out of that? Because a lot of producers take different routes like that. You notice, and then some of them just they end up working with a lot of them. Like one that for me is really huge is Timbaland.
Right.
He started working off with artists like Aaliyah and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and now he's working with just about anybody.
Anyone he wants to.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
So yeah, no, I definitely feel like in the beginning I thought I'd want to like try to go for placements and get these bigger, try to go for these bigger artists. But personally, I just don't. I've seen firsthand, the producer working with the artist, when they get that beat, they just take that beat, record over, and reproduce it. So the person in the seat is the one getting credit. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
it starts with a demo usually, you know, at some point. You know?
Right. Like if, let's say I send a beat to you, right? And you're working with Drake. Drake hears my beat and is like, damn, I like that one. I'm going to get on that one. You're not going to tell Drake no, but then you're also going to need to find your, like for some people, they are like, damn, I need to, this needs to be my beat that he's getting on. Yeah. So they'll then go
they'll add a little sound in there.
They'll just straight up reproduce it. You know what I mean? Reproduce it and make their own version.
Is that grimy now? Because I remember I used to have a client that used to get points on an album by bringing the producer, bringing the beat or whatever. And then he's like always getting hype about getting like producer credits at the end. And I'm like, why, bro? He's like, bro, it's points. It's millions of dollars right here, bro. And I'm just like, oh, shit, bro.
There's a big difference.
Yeah, it's like, fuck. But you're saying the people now rip your whole beat off, like,
oh yeah, it's a doggy dog, like, you know, world out there. It is, really is. It's just like
it's like big bank take little bank, basically.
100%, 100%. I like
that shit's cut though, bro. I don't know.
Oh yeah, like for instance, the kid who made the Lil Nas X Old Town Road, right? The kid who made that beat, he was like 15 or something, right? He ended up getting signed by Cash Money AP. Cash Money AP now is getting paid off of Old Town Road for as long as he has his kid. You know what I mean? Which is like, I bet that kid didn't know that. You know what I'm going into?
He regrets it.
I'm sure one day he will regret it when he looks at that check or, you know, looks at his bank account at the end of the day and looks how much money that song made and didn't have a fraction of it. You know what I mean?
That's why you never sign a work for hire.
100%.
You get being asked for that.
Yeah, I had a homie who he told me, I honestly believe him. Like, he said that when he was younger, like high school or something, he made a beat that was like one of T-Pain's. It's like one of his biggest songs. I'm not gonna say which one, but he did that beat, and he said that the manager, whoever the A&R person, had basically told him like, "Oh, I'll just buy it off of you for like." For like $3,000-$4,000 or whatever it was at the time. Uh-huh. He was in high school. $3,000-$4,000. Bro, I'm the richest kid in the school. You know what I mean? Yeah, like with $3,000-$4,000. And probably got more money than some of y'all parents. You know what I mean? With $3,000-$4,000. You know what I mean?
Now so, all these songs are being recycled on TikTok and shit.
So, you know, he says that was like his biggest learning mistake.
You know, it's crazy. I don't want to say what song it is, but I feel like I've heard that. Song I've heard about that, and I actually, it's funny, I think T-Pain said that exact story.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on like a podcast he was on.
Damn, I bet because that was, it's like a real ass shit. And
it's crazy as fuck.
And so he never saw, he didn't even get a credit because they just went and said that T-Pain made the beat, because that's, you know what I mean,
he
that's the
game.
He owns it.
So for that reason you'd rather kind of work with an artist that's just up and coming, and you know,
100%. I'd rather like work with young, like, it really is the great thing about being a producer is I don't have any kind of like expiration date, you know what I mean, other than my death, you know what I mean. Yeah. So
I feel that
you know, but I'd love to just keep finding more people to work with, more, you know, especially some of these young people coming out that are like, you know, 16, 17, have more talent than a lot of adults in this world. You know what I mean? Because they've just, it's like, as that generation and time goes on, like, the next crop is just better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I feel and, what you mean. I mean, you see it kind of even in sports, you know, like the next, they just have, they can jump higher. They can do all this crazy
stuff. I guess
stuff.
I feel like an old head. I'm about to be like, what's better about this new genre, new era?
See,
as far as these in rap lyrics.
See, you know, well, rap is, that's different. That's been, that's watered different. Down, it's watered down. Like, there's just, a lot of music has been, though. Okay, but that's because a lot of it is being pushed by people who don't really know what good music is. Right. You know what I mean?
Then they're not curating good music.
Right. And then you also have people who also, like, will eat up anything that they see on TV. You know what I mean? And that's just how that kind of thing goes. You know what I mean? Like, and they also want to push people who they can control. You know what I mean? That's why you won't see someone like, like Russ anywhere, really. You know what I mean? They don't want to push him because he could his fuck up their whole game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
a song a day?
Yeah.
Bro, he was pushing out a song a week on his SoundCloud. He was making a song a day, but then pushing out a song a week. And then that shit just every week.
Yeah,
and then
bro.
Now everybody knows these songs. Like,
yeah, and that's a guy that I don't till right now. I don't think he has a deal with anybody.
He has partnership. I think he's like, been. He think he had a partnership, but it was like a kind of deal with fit that Nipsey Hussle guy, where it's like it's a venture. It's not like they don't own. He owns his shit still. It's just they're distributing his shit.
Right.
Like,
yeah, he has a distributor,
smart,
but
Distribution deal, yeah.
What's
it called? You mentioned placements too, and then just with placements, I just feel like there's just so much you could do with it. You can, you know, I know someone that's they're trying to do placements like in like video game, you know, specifically like sports music, you know, sports like sports video games, like music for that. And I just feel like that's also like you could say a unique market also with like content creating and you know, YouTubers, they can't always use copyrighted material, so there's so many avenues and just again there's markets that are just being opened for music and whatnot, and you know, how do you in a sense think of producing for that too? Or
I have experience in that. I just had a client last week ask me to do something for a YouTube video. I am on
so
a
for
sync.
You to beat to intro the current podcast.
Oh, please hit me up. Please hit me up.
Mine is outdated, bro.
I got you.
What if I need a beat like Griselda beat? You know that, right?
Oh, hell yeah.
You
know, Griselda, hell yeah.
That like new boom bat that they're bringing.
Oh, yeah. I can do anything. It's really about who comes to me. I mean, there's certain, maybe I can't do like some like straight authentic, straight like, let's say, you know, like any kind of like, let's say, what's the style of like banda or like anything like that, you know, because I just don't have those instruments, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know,
but
like,
if you give them to you, you'll probably get it.
Right.
You gotta get them in acoustic bass. Yeah.
Take him a week, but he'll figure it out, man.
Oh, you know, I always say that I can confidently make anyone think that I know how to play an instrument. It's just like, I can make music out of anything. I've taken actually on my TikTok I do where I just go and record like things out in the world. Like I went to a park and
I've
you know just
that.
Recorded like, random things and I'll make a beat out of that. I went to like my mom's house. I just like random things that during Christmas, playing with like the Christmas tree, the vending, no, not the vending, the washing machine.
Do you guys remember that movie? Oh my God, why am I forgetting the name? The one where they had to be blindfolded with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, Bird Box. Yeah.
The sound for the creature, like that was interesting to me. Where, they said that they did a taser on a lemon.
Mm.
And then they distorted that sound, and that's what the sound of the creature. And I was like, how do you even think of like, let me tase a lemon
I've
and
seen
record
foliage.
That.
Foliage is a whole other thing.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
what is that called?
Foliage.
Yeah, and I saw something about that, like a whole Instagram post where like they drag a chair and then they fuck with the sound that the chair dragging made.
Oh, yeah.
That
I remember Maury showed me a girl who posts like her videos and she does like basically
walking and fucking
like the walking steps for movies.
Right.
Everything, bro.
Yeah. Somebody walking with a limp and shit.
Right.
Yeah, like they do all those sounds.
Even when a car gets hit, like she does that shit on point, like
right, and
and it's not even a car getting hit. It's like
a trash can and just banging like into her dog. Straight up.
We're gonna have to put those clips together on that one.
Right, and there's a. Like some of the Star Wars sounds, like in the
lightsaber
pods, and there's like animal sounds in there. There's like tiger growling, you know, for the revving, you know what I mean? They really be thinking about like just everything. The T-Rex sound in Jurassic Park
is what?
It's just a mixture of a bunch of different animals put together, you know what I mean?
Are you serious?
I'm pretty sure. I'm like, because I saw something like that on a YouTube video.
Shit.
Where they go and show like kind of like how they piece together. Obviously they don't tell you exactly what's in it because they don't want, mm-hmm. that's like signature sounds, you know what I mean? But like people be stretching out like a lion's roar, you know what I mean? Adding something on top of it.
Because you basically distort the sound to make it sound like something new.
Yeah, mm-hmm. something new, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
interesting.
It's like the movies I always had a dun, 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 dun.
Right. So I definitely, that's like what I love most about producing is just like there's so many avenues to take. Mm-hmm. And that's also kind of what makes it hard too is like there's so many avenues to take.
Yeah, and to some degree it's like, with that being said, it's like, do you find a niche and just kind of go for that? Or do you just go off to the whole spectrum?
I go off of, honestly, my feel, like how I feel in the moment. Yeah, bless you. And I really go off of what I feel, off of like vibes, you know what I mean? The artist who comes to me. A lot of times I have people, let's say a rapper comes to me, look for like a rap beat, but they want it like a sample, you know what I mean? Old school sample or... Yeah. Stuff like that. A lot of times I used to make like a lot of beats back in the day. I just don't find that I like making stuff with the person.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
But would you say you have like, for example, a SoundCloud or a YouTube so that people could listen to your stuff? Kind of get an idea?
No, because that's actually like, I'm a very true believer in like.
So you wouldn't be able to get that kind of like how we saw with that J. Cole song, Procrastination.
No, that's something that just will never. Because I don't like for me personally, I put so much. Like, there's a good plus and a minus, right? I used to try to do the YouTube with the beats, and it's just like then you become kind of like, in order to compete and put stuff up, you start just like, I mean, putting up like the recycled stuff, you know what I mean? There's like, in order to meet these quotas, put up a beat every day, or you know, someone says they make 5 beats a day, they just take a sample with the same drums over it, stretch it out, change the tempo, and all of a sudden you made 5 beats. But that's not what I'm doing it for, like the artistic musical side of it. So like I put a lot of time in my beats. I put a lot of time in my like production. It's like,
but you would say you at least do have like a portfolio of, and I use that word just so that people can reference at least past works.
I mean, sort of. I'm actually building a website currently. For all that kind of stuff because.
Let's say you've worked with X pop artist or, you know, this rapper or whatever. So that, like, let's say if I was a rapper, Enzo's a pop artist, and he wants to release his next album, like The Weeknd.
Right.
I'm not a rapper. You know what I mean? You just have something to reference.
I'm not a rapper.
You
know? I'm an MC.
You know, and I know once you probably sit down with someone, you might either have a reference track or something like that. But the reason I'm asking is just so that, like, people listening can go and, like, you know, check something like that out.
Yeah, I'm currently building that right now. Definitely, like, keeping an eye on my Instagram for now because I'm definitely working on literally all of that because I work on a lot of things and I feel like I sometimes lose focus on other things because I'm so moving forward.
Got you.
And the website and like that kind of stuff is something I've just been slacking on, honestly. I've been trying a lot of it, honestly. A lot of my stuff comes from like word of mouth and a lot of just like because I've done like let's say certain kind of like advertising things and they just bring in not the right people for me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like they bring in someone who just doesn't take their work seriously, or I've been in so many weird you know, in dangerous positions just because I work with someone I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then a lot of people, you know, so there's like a plus and minus. But yeah, I'm currently working on something for, you know.
It sounds like group projects at school.
No, straight up, straight up. Yeah,
you
so
know who's gonna do their part?
Definitely. No, 100%. But
yeah, just if someone wanted to reach you out right now, just so we can wrap this up and whatnot, yeah. Like, what's the best way to do that? Would that be through your Instagram? And
my Instagram, LaDominic Brown.
Got you.
And then I will be definitely be posting. Like right now, I'm working on. I was taking photos at my studio, so I could actually do the website and everything. Yeah. I'm doing have a really dope video for my studio and everything. So yeah, LaDominic Brown on Instagram and everything. I'm sure. I'm not sure when this comes out, but I'm sure I'll have a lot of stuff up there by then.
Cool, cool, cool. And just out of curiosity, with you know the clothing brand, mm-hmm. not the clothing brand, but you know the whole it's the vintage wear and all that stuff too. You said it was. Dusted off, right?
Dusted off. Dusted off vintage on Instagram. Yeah, yeah.
And we, do you, that you don't plan on going as far as making maybe a website for that, or do you?
You know, I'm on like Depop and stuff like that, you know, but as far as, yeah, I might make a website for that.
Shopify or something.
Yeah, you know, something like that, but definitely Instagram, dusted off.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Sick. I'm going to be definitely hit you up for that, bro.
Dominic, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, man. You know Enzo right here, our host, and also Manny, there's our other host.
I appreciate y'all.
New Life Barber Lounge. You ever need a barber?
Yeah, with Enzo.
You know, I'm actually, I'm sort of planning a music video where I need a barbershop scene.
Cool up. You can arrange that. We can make it happen.
Okay.
Definitely.
Say less.
All right, man. Make it happen.
Definitely, man. Thank you so much.
All right, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all.
Dominique.